We'll begin the communion class with prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for all that you're doing through with your people. Help us to go forward in you, always forward, that we may do all that's in your heart. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
You know, drawing near to the Lord, there's so many things that I was thinking this week about the capabilities we receive just by drawing near to him. And how things change and progress. You learn things you never thought you'd learn in ways you never thought you'd learn just by being obedient to him. And all of that is communion. Last week we made it to verse 15. And we're dealing with the church at Pergamos. Revelation chapter 2. It starts at verse 12, but we made it to verse 15. Verse 14 reads, "But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them all that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication." And what the enemy is trying to do, what he seduced Balaam through King Balak. Because he lusted after the money, the greed got him, and he taught the king how to curse Israel. And the problem was what he did was popular among God's people. I used to read that, and it didn't look like he outright taught it, you know, in the wording. But when you read the next chapter, chapter 24, they were the sons of Israel were sleeping with the daughters of Moab, because the king knew how to get them in trouble, and that started a stumbling block. But when it happened, people remembered it, Baal worship became popular, and it was always a problem. Until Nebuchadnezzar judged it. After the captivity of Babylon, you didn't hear about Baal worship anymore. And Isaiah prophesied that he'd take Baal out of their mouth. And when Nebuchadnezzar took them in captivity, that whole generation died. They were there 70 years. You didn't hear anything else about Baal worship. But it took that long to kill this problem. And now it appears here in the last days. Perry Stone's father, before he died, told him that right before the rapture, the enemy would launch a campaign to get people in fornication and adultery. And, you know, nothing will divide people more than this. They sacrifice to idols, first of all, the lust of other things entering in. You know, they're after, people will do all kind of things, all kind of murders just for money. And then to commit fornication. And he said, "I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication." False prophets, they try to turn into lasciviousness, an aid to sin. I got a free pass even if I sin. But that won't work. Sin always hardens our hearts. And Jesus spoke about it, because he didn't want his people falling into a trap. I taught my children, I said, everything sounds good, but the word of God is true. And if you stick to the word of God, you'll be able to judge what's right from wrong. You're in the light. And you have to choose to be in the light and stay in the light. Everybody has the same challenge. And people are going to choose one. If a person starts the sin process, it starts hardening your heart. It'll turn anybody into the enemy of God. And we saw the demons walked away, and others have walked away. John said they walked away to show that they were never with us. And this thing started creeping in the church. All right, in verse 15, he said, "So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which things I hate." So some people were putting themselves on a pedestal over the people. And the Lord gave me a dream one time. I know a certain pastor. I won't call his name, but it was like I saw the church, and the pastor and the elders of that church were walking on pedestals, not pedestals, but like stilts. When they hang sheetrock, they have something that they walk on. You know, they're about so high off the ground, and you can reach and touch the ceiling. You can walk. It's an art to it. Well, they were walking on something like that, and he didn't like it. I saw them in the parking lot, and they were much higher than the people walking around on those stilts. And I knew what he was getting at. That's the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. They put themselves over the people. If God hates that, there's a reason for it. And it's an easy trap for people to fall into. Anybody that get in pride will also get in fear. And they'll publish the pride. And if you publish pride, you also publish fear. That's what Hitler did. He flattered Germany. And then he made it against the law to say anything about him. And because the people were flattered, they received pride. And then he made them, with pride comes fear. It was easy for them to fear that they would die. So they, whether they were sincere or not, they said, Heil Hitler. Or how hit whatever they say, and they and he seduced the whole country. Now the Antichrist is going to do the same thing. He's going to flatter everybody first, and they'll get in pride, and then they're going to definitely fear him, and he'll take control of the armies, the nuclear weapons, the submarines, the ships, and all the airplanes of 10 nations, 10 prominent nations. So he'll do this with satanic flattery. The doctrine of the Nicolaitans. These are enemies that try to creep into the church. And you have to cast it down. If the leaders do this and people don't know, you know, they it doesn't look, everything that's wrong don't always look wrong. But they get trapped by it. Unless they're paying attention to the Lord, unless they have a strong relationship with the Lord, a strong communion relationship. When you're communing with the Lord, the Holy Spirit, he talks differently than mainstream ministry. And you can see the error. Eventually, even in the presence of the Lord, some things he just let me walk right into it. He told me things about it, but some things he just let me see it for myself. And I wouldn't have, and if he had told me, I wouldn't have believed it. It would have been hard for me to receive. But I didn't have a reference for it. I didn't know how to judge it. So he let me walk into things. And then I'll go and pray, and he'd teach me about it. Well, if that process doesn't happen enough, more people will fall into traps. And then nobody will say nothing, and it'll continue. So these things interrupt our idolatry, the lust of the eye, fornication, the lust of the flesh, and then the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, the pride of life. This is the monster. This is the world system. This is the dragon. He said, "Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth." And he'll do this because they're going to be an enemy, and they'll turn others, because leaders produce fruit after their kind. Every leader produces fruit after their kind. And many people, you know, they don't study the word. They let the preacher do the study, and they'll listen. A lot of people won't study on their own, so the enemy gets away with too much. But communion is the backbone of our victory. We can't have victory without continually hearing God's word. He told Joshua to study his word day and night. Have a healthy regimen of studying the word. Not to please God. God loves us anyway. He loves you for you, not how much you study. But studying, your victory requires it. Your dedication requires it. Even your love for God continually requires it. And your ability to walk by faith, no matter what, definitely requires it. And he says so that you'll be able to do, all things. He'll be able to thrive, not just survive. He'll be able to. He had to have enough strength to live his life and stay in faith and love God and enjoy God. And then encourage others to do the same thing. And then fight a wicked enemy and drive them out of the land they're used to. They didn't have to drive them out of a foreign land. They had to drive them out of the land that was once theirs. God had given it to Israel. So it was going to take an anointing. It was going to take a man dedicated to the word. And now a lot of people want the revival that will make the difference so more people can get caught up in the rapture. And I do too. But it's going to take an anointing, not just our love. It'll take an anointing to get people out of the ditch that they're in. The wisdom and knowledge is not enough. You have to have an anointing to do it. And those who are dedicated to the Lord, they're going to have the greater anointing. That's how the Lord, many that are first will be last, because people that he promote will have the anointing that it takes. And it doesn't necessarily take a lot of money. It takes the anointing. With the anointing, it'll attract whatever you need, and you'll get it in time to do whatever you have to do. You have God's ability then. But God can't anoint somebody they have gotten in the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, because then he'll have more of him. He needs somebody that will love him. And then he'll have greater kind, greater fruit. It doesn't take long. Once people have vision, they can quickly adapt. That's why the enemy fights our progress. If you have vision for something, you know that you can, faith is the foundation that will give it to you, but if you have a vision for it, you can easily receive it. If people start walking on water, other people will start walking on water because they've been given a vision. Peter walked on water because he saw Jesus walk on water. If David start walking on water, then other people, they're going to start walking on water too. So it is with all things, even the anointing. What it takes to carry that anointing, people see the conduct of their life and they'll adapt themselves to that. And they don't, this guy loves everybody, just like Jesus. But this guy puts himself above everybody, like Satan. And God can't take him any further than where he's gotten to. And the pride is hindering the anointing that he has. And the Lord can't sanction him. Yeah, a person can be anointed, but the Lord won't sanction them to do assignments and works until they repent. And these scriptures help us to see clearly. These things would have snuck in so easily unless somebody was communing with the Lord. Now, this message was sent by John to that pastor. Now he knows what to watch out for. And in the ending, he said, "He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone." He's accepted. And in the stone, a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receives it. So God's best is going to come to those who win in life, those who continue in his love, those who commune with him. So that's our challenge and that's our blessing as we do that. Any comments before we go to Corinthians?
Very good. I am here. Jesus says, "I will fight against the sword of my mouth." That's a good confession.
Mm-hmm.
"I will fight with the sword of my mouth."
Yeah.
Instead of saying word all the time, say sword too.
Yeah.
When you're fighting and you're in a battle, I'm fighting with the sword of my mouth, just like Jesus does.
Yeah. That means that's what we'll be doing as we follow him. Whatever God is doing, that's what he's going to give us to do. And we're going to say something. On the radio, he helped me to cover a lot of things like that. In the website broadcast, I have to say things I really would rather not, but I have to do it. And you will too. It's part of it. But when he's talking to his people, he teaches it's better doctrine, better things. But when you're talking to people that hadn't heard yet, you have to speak according to his heart. And I confess that I do it, so I won't be contrary. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 24. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." When I remember him, I remember him washing his disciples' feet, dying on the cross for us. And after the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." And I thank the Lord for that. He doesn't let things sneak up on us. As we commune with him, he'll show you what he loves and what he has a problem with. But he loves everybody. The people that he show you things about, even if it's negative, it's so that you can pray, know what to avoid, and if possible, help them avoid it too. But it's necessary, whatever he gives us. We end in prayer. Dave, you want to close us in prayer?
Yeah. Father, we thank you so much for your love and mercy toward us. We thank you that you reveal to us your ways, Father, how you are and how you want us to do things, Father. We always want to give you the glory.
Yes, Lord.
Not try to get glory for ourselves, but always give you the glory. For you are the great and mighty God. And we glorify you, Father. We are here to glorify you, not ourselves, not others, of people, but to glorify you. So be glorified today. In our lives and in our sight, Father. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right.